Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm very excited today, well, excited to be back, number one, but also I have a fantastic author, Love is the Power, with Robert O. Williams. He teaches us how to move from fear to love and how to stay there and live as love. He's an incredible person. He's considered one of the world's foremost experts in subtle energy engineering and technology. He's the author of this book we're going to be discussing, and he's also an educator and inventor of quantum code technology. In addition to teaching music at a university level, Robert's recorded and performed with the Beach Boys, Paul Horn, and Charles Lloyd, some of my favorites. And I'm very excited to talk to him about his book here, so let me get him on the line here. Hello, Robert. Hello, Robert. Are you there?
Hi, Gary. I am here.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time. Yeah, excellent. Excellent audio. Thank you for taking time to be on Conscious Connection. I always like forward-thinking authors to interview, and especially we need much less fear in the world and much more love. So John Lennon taught us that for sure, and let's continue the journey. So I'm very excited about your book. So you decided to write about your incredible life story in the book. So how did this come about?
It was for, I would say, largely an intuition that the masses were ready for an expanded definition of love. You know, It's one of those words that we use all the time in different contexts. And I have to confess, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I saw on her computer just the other day a file that said the title was Cute Boys She Loves. So, you know, I'm like, oh, no. Well, that's one form, in her context, that's one form of love. And we know that it's going to be limited or transient. There is a state of consciousness that I explored in many ways and that I'm still exploring, in that state of consciousness is what I'm calling love. And so the book really is about this expanded understanding of who we are, an expanded understanding of consciousness, and how collectively we are moving towards love and moving away from fear as a collective, as a collective consciousness, not just an individual phenomenon. That's why I wrote the book, and the book has a bunch of stories in it that I've experienced, or chapters of my life, so to speak. But as you might have noticed, there's italics in the book, and that's when I felt like I was channeling the collective consciousness or humans at large.
Great.
And those, I couldn't speak in the first person. I had to put him indented and put him in special fonts so that we all can participate in the writing of that.
Wonderful. So what kind of wisdom came through while you were doing this?
Oh, all kinds. The one of the obvious things when we look around is that nature is always progressing. It's growing. It's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Some things change very, very fast. Some things take billions of years to change. But there's always this motion towards the evolutionary potential. And what I discovered in my own life and in writing the book is that we're in a phase, a collective phase right now. Humanity is at a phase transition. And what a phase transition is in nature is that one form gives way to a higher state of order or a different form even. And so the examples, we've heard of the caterpillar to the butterfly, we've heard of the seed to the flower, all these examples are governed by the natural laws and the innate intelligence of life itself and of matter itself. And what I discovered and what I found and was fascinated with by researching all the indigenous cultures and the ancient religions is that there is a phase transition that is destined, that's programmed into the whole entirety of life on this planet, that will move, you could say, from fear to love. Now, what that means is our very subtle energies and our very essence begins to have a different tone, a different quality of our own experience. And it happens in many individuals at first, and then when a certain amount of individuals are resonating in that collective sense of love, then there's an influence that goes to the masses, or to the, it affects the entire majority.
Yeah.
So that has been
not only
prophesized but programmed in, and I write a lot about that, and why it's so important to participate in life and discover our own essences, discover our own truth at this time.
And it's also like the 100th monkey theory. You're familiar with
exactly.
that? When they trained monkeys to wash sweet potatoes off the coast of Japan, all of a sudden monkeys all over Japan who weren't taught were doing it automatically. So once you, if you use the biblical stuff, like what is it, 144,000, whatever that percent is, once you get that amount of people to change, the whole consciousness of all human beings will shift. And I think that's what we're going through now.
Exactly.
Absolutely, and
very,
we're certainly
very,
ready for it. My God, we are. We've seen the nightmares of fear. That's for sure. Continually.
Oh, we sure haven't. Yeah, and it's actually a symptom of change. Is when certain systems have gone through its cycle of stability, you could say a paradigm continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Then there has to be an increase of disorder for the new form to emerge.
Right.
And so we can look around us, and there's economic systems and political systems and societal systems that are being challenged right now. And what I feel and what I have discovered on many levels is that is a symptom that we're going to break through and develop
Absolutely.
A new consciousness, a new reality. Yeah, gotcha.
I look at it as the birth process. A woman's pregnant for 9 months. All of a sudden, everything's hunky-dory. Then she goes into labor. Then there's incredible pain and fear and all this, and contraction and this and that. And then, boom, from that hell of giving birth is, in a lot of cases, if it's not cesarean or whatever, then there's intense joy and happiness within a nanosecond. And I really think human consciousness right now, we are in the delivery room of going into labor, so to speak, right before this burst of joy, love, and freedom is going to just all of a sudden transform from yin to yang in a nanosecond.
Beautifully said, Gary. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm interested in your quantum code technology. Would you like to speak a little bit about that?
Sure.
Or are there other things you'd like to cover before we get into that?
No, that's a good place to go. We were talking about nature and these, maybe I mentioned the word information fields. That's a new science term that talks about the innate intelligence and talks about these fields of blueprint that, for instance, the growth of plants, the growth of our cells, they follow this subtle blueprint that
it's like fractal geometry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a near-death experience in 1979 where there was only light. Well, there was my body, and then I left my body, saw it on the bathroom floor, and then experienced this infinite light. And actually, at first, there was infinite light. There was no experiencer. And then I became a bit separate from the light, and that's when I was the subject-object and the perception of objects, that kind of triad established itself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a faint sense of I that was experiencing the light. When I was coming back down, so to speak, into my body, there was a dimension or a phase of that process where I saw geometries and mandalas and ratios of energies in a very, very beautiful way. When I got back into my body, I wrote them down. I still have the journals, and began to study. And there are actually books written about these symbols and these geometries that link them to even Paleolithic art and the Vedas, and even in the ancient Cherokee religions, the art was a reflection of these innate geometries or these information fields.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's 108, they call them sacred ratios or mandalas, that are active right now for this phase transition that we alluded to earlier, for the transition from fear to love. And so those geometries are, you could say, laying the foundation for the blossoming. So the geometries of the, for instance, of a flower, for the blossoming flower, were always there, even at the
seed,
at the sprout stage. But they weren't; they were inactive. They were in the background until the conditions, the environmental conditions, and the time, place for that blossoming to occur. And so those frequencies or those geometries begin to become active, and that the blueprint is followed. So like that, humanity has these blueprints, and they've been written down and registered in the different art objects and found everywhere in the ancient societies. And so I saw those when I was coming back into my body, and I also read about them and saw them in these journals and texts. And working with a very brilliant scientist, Dr. William Tiller, who was at the time chairman of the Department of Material Sciences at Stanford University, we developed these field generators that would generate these ratios through the air and like radio waves. And after several years, we worked with other people that helped us broadcast these same mandalas, or these same, we call them codes, into the atmosphere and into that are able to be actually picked up by a cell phone like an app. So it was a huge breakthrough. So that's what quantum code technology is. It's just these beautiful ancient symbols that are geometries found in our very DNA and all forms of life. And as they are in our environment, we actually resonate with them and feel more alive and feel more of who we are. And it also, we did a test and it shows that our stress goes down and our physical hearts are strengthened as well.
That's fantastic. That's and you mentioned you made it into an app, which is very interesting in this 21st century age.
It was certainly a breakthrough, and we just wanted to make sure the codes were not harmful and going through the digital domain into cell phones and so forth. And we did a 2-year study. Dr. Beverly Rubick, University of California, Berkeley, biophysicist, very strict, super controlled study to make sure that there was no harm going through the digital system of the cell phones. And what she found was not only was there no harm, there was actually an improvement in heart rate variability, which is a way that cardiologists can look at the health of the heart. So that improved by almost 30%, by more than 30%. That was the huge breakthrough. And just to know that these ancient symbols actually lower stress via a cell phone was something that brought us all to our knees. We're very grateful for that science.
Well, it's almost like in their design was so perfect that it was predicting the forthcoming digital age, which is kind of cosmic in and of itself, which is kind of amusing in
totally
a way.
Cosmic.
But it's so, it's so intelligent that it could almost foresee the integration of the primitive to digital age, you know, and be of great benefit. Now, I know you have some history with the Beach Boys. Would you like to talk about that?
Well, it was a wonderful time of my life. 1976 through 1979, I had been doing transcendental meditation, TEM, and this was in the 70s, and you might have remembered that the Beatles and the Beach Boys and a lot of other celebrities, Donovan and Mia Farrow, went over to Rishikesh, India to learn TM from Maharishi, and they did. And many of them still meditate, and most of them don't. But Mike Love of the Beach Boys was the most affected by the technique. And he wanted, all the Beach Boys were meditating in the 70s, and he wanted to record an album in a different environment. And in 1976, Maharishi had established a international university in the middle of Iowa. And I was a student there at the time. This was a fully accredited university, and I transferred all my credits from Cal State Hayward. And we heard that the Beach Boys were building a recording studio on campus, and they're going to record an album. I'd been playing saxophone since I was a kid, so when it was time for the Beach, for Mike Love, who was producing the album, to put on the horns, somehow the word got in there that there was a saxophone player on campus. Why fly guys from L.A.? Here's one, you know,
right.
Guy. But I had to audition. I had to trial for the parts, and lucked out and recorded on that album. And then during the last session, I got up enough nerve to say, "Hey, can I go on the road with you guys? You know, do you guys need another sax player?" And it just turns out that they did need a sax player, and that started my whole joyous experience with the Beach Boys.
That's wonderful. So so that, in a way, was opening you up to music. I know with your Heart Plus app there, music, you state are carrier waves of pure heart love. Would you like to speak about that a little bit? That sounds absolutely fascinating, because I know when I hear I'm of that baby boomer generation, when I hear, you know, where it's 50 years since the Summer of Love here, 1967 to 2017, I've been playing more Beatles music, Beatles on Sirius, and I remember my teenage years when I was a lad of 16, and just all the music, actually, the common denominator for it all was about love.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything carries subtle waves of other dimensions, everything, and including our voices and the music we can play and listen to. And depending upon the consciousness of the musician and on the consciousness of the listener, there's an exchange of higher, what I call metaharmonics or ultra-dimensional energies. So I think we've all experienced those moments at a concert, at a live concert particularly, where we're in the crowd and something just clicks. And as I can go back to my days playing the saxophone in the horn section for the Beach Boys, and it would just kind of, whoa, everybody felt it. And we'd look at each other, we'd go, this is the zone, this is it. And back in those days, everybody had the big lighters. Now they don't. But anyway, everybody was like swaying together. That is a real phenomenon of collective consciousness, of higher states of consciousness, that the music was the medium of the doorway to our higher states of consciousness. Not that it was anything about the B minor seventh going to the F major seventh, and you know, there's music and there's sound, and we can analyze that all day long. But there's something else that music carries, and when everybody is in tune with that higher frequency or that higher consciousness, there's a collective phenomenon, and we all are more loving. And I remember after the encores, everybody was leaving, and you could just see it. People were more loving. They were more polite, even the security guys and the ticket sellers and everybody, you know. And then we go back into our lives, we kind of lose that higher state. But music is a wonderful way to remember this state of love. It certainly is.
Absolutely. And those memories, the funny thing is with music, I remember when I hear the Beatles songs 50 years later, I remember the words and sing along in the car, whatever, as though I was 16 again. And it's just so fascinating how it really sticks to you. And I think love really opens the human heart. And the beauty of music is that it reminds us to open our heart, and especially with pleasure. I mean, there's so much fear and horror in the world. And when you hear a good song, you know, I often tell people in my lectures, because I do constellation healing, is that like people like Adele, if Adele didn't have incredible romantic pain, she wouldn't have sung with that passion and love like she did, you know, when she became an overnight success, so to speak. So that's kind of a yin and yang with it. It's like, you know, when you experience incredible pain, you can shift that into something so powerful, so passionate, that hearing Adele for the first time, if our listeners have heard Adele, I mean, it just gives you shivers. Or different Beatles songs with John Lennon or Paul McCartney or whatever, or Mike Love and the Beach Boys, you just would get shivers, and you never forget how your body felt just listening to the words, not to mention the harmonies and all the other attributes of music.
Exactly. And this awakening as love is often sudden. It's often just, it comes in the midst of pain, in the midst of life. And in my own situation, I wasn't seeking for a higher state. I wasn't seeking for anything. I had pretty much surrendered everything and wasn't afraid of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And in that state, I was able to experience this amazing unbounded freedom. And that is not unique to me. I think these are the
right.
days. We kind of just keep our antennas up. And during the day, there's these moments where we're able to self-reflect, to ask what's going
mm-hmm.
on, and kind of have this awareness mm-hmm. of our lives rather than being over-identified or lost in the
mm-hmm.
actions of life. That's the
mm-hmm.
doorway to through our hearts. That is the doorway. That,
mm-hmm.
the only mechanism for reconciling the dilemma of pain and joy and all the other polarities on this planet right now is the heart. That the heart can,
mm-hmm.
can take both and hold them both and
mm-hmm.
reconcile that dilemma where how can there
mm-hmm.
be such love and how can there be such pain at the same time on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
So the heart
mm-hmm.
is able to hold those two, and then eventually it, like the actual rose coming out of the rose plant, the flower
right.
of the rose starts to emerge automatically. And that's the
mm-hmm.
amazing part of how this planet works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these transformational events change reality to the core. You also state that Earth is meant to be a paradise, and it can be a blueprint without suffering and cruelty, and that these codes, or the harmony of these codes, can awaken us completely. What are your thoughts on that? I think that's a beautiful statement, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. We have a good 8 minutes left, so please, you can discuss that at length because it's very powerful and so needed right now.
I mentioned my near-death experience, and there was
mm-hmm.
light, and there was me in the light, and then I was
mm-hmm.
given a choice, and the communication was that I had a purpose. So when I was coming back, I was aware, or I experienced these different realities, different dimensions, angelic, archangelic, and
mm-hmm.
Things that are called by various names. When I was closer to my body, I saw a reality without suffering, and
mm-hmm.
it's hard to describe. I have a whole chapter in the book on it, and then when I actually
mm-hmm.
got back into my body and wiggled my toes,
mm-hmm.
it was before
mm-hmm.
my head started to hurt and all the other pains, I
mm-hmm.
Was alone in on my bathroom floor, and I remember hearing the insects in the garden outside and hearing the birds
mm-hmm.
chirp
mm-hmm.
and the sounds
mm-hmm.
of the waves. We were living by the ocean, and there wasn't any disconnect. That the same intelligence that was governing this beautiful planet in that particular
mm-hmm.
environment, and everywhere we know that same intelligence was also beating my own heart and breathing my own
mm-hmm.
breath. So
mm-hmm.
I realized that the essence of who we are is embedded in nature, and the answers to our pain and the solutions to our problems are also embedded in our very existence. It's not something that we have
mm-hmm.
to earn or it is a realization. It's not a new discovery, although you call it what you will. New discoveries are usually realizations
right.
of what's always been there anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but when I was laying there, Gary, I
mm-hmm.
just realized, oh, my God, I saw the blueprint of a planet without suffering and how,
mm-hmm.
at least for a certain time, humans can coexist without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it didn't mean that humans coexisted without creativity or without differences. Just the opposite. Humans were
mm-hmm.
co-creating and living in a state without fear, which meant that there was a blueprint that was
right.
allowing nature to do most of the work, if you want to put it that way. And
exactly.
it gets into a whole kinds of different kinds of conversations, but I believed in that. I woke up and said, wow, this planet, it's not up and away or some other lifetime. This planet has the potential to be a paradise. And I know that's a strong word, but to
mm-hmm.
look at those innate laws that govern
mm-hmm.
everything else, and we are included in that. We realize that we're included, and then we actually co-participate through our hearts with this blossoming. And what I believe is that someday, and I hope it's in our lifetime, we can mm-hmm. raise consciousness to the extent where to have a thought of abusing somebody or hurting somebody or even a thought based on fear just will not be possible. Will mm-hmm. not be possible. It right now we have choices. Good. Let's make good choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bet you all of your listeners right now, I just know the consciousness of your listeners. None of them, none of you, none of us can do harm consciously. We can't do
mm-hmm.
it. It's not in our consciousness. We can't kick
mm-hmm.
a dog or abuse somebody just
mm-hmm.
for sport. We cannot do that. We've
exactly.
reached that state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're in the minority, but at some point, if the majority
I don't think so.
Gets into that state,
yeah.
then it's
mm-hmm.
going to have a global effect, and
mm-hmm.
that's where life will change in a radical sense.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like in human history,
yeah.
we went from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance, so I feel that shift is happening, and I'm a big fan of Indian Hindu spirituality
yeah.
and the yugas. We're leaving the Bronze Yuga into the Golden Age, which is very similar
yeah.
to the Piscean Age ending into the Aquarian Age, which is more feminine,
yeah.
nurturing-based, rather than scarcity, fear, grab, hold on for your life, take everything for yourself, leave nothing for anyone else. And I think
Got
that
it,
paradigm
Gary.
Is dying, and I actually think Donald Trump is the midwife to the new birth.
Yeah.
So I think in the bigger picture, we need the creator-destroyer energy to really make the transformation. So I think there's a perfection happening now, even though it doesn't look pretty. And I really think that is happening for us all. And it's like forward thinkers like you who are willing to write about it and put your thoughts on the line, written and verbally, is what's needed right now. And it's really going to change everything. So I don't think it's a pie-in-the-sky thing at all. I think humanity is hungry for it. And I think we're ready. We just haven't embraced the new way of thinking yet in a larger group, but it always takes harbingers of change to get us there, and you are certainly one of those. We have a couple minutes left. I'd love you to tell people how to get a copy of your book. I just looked on Amazon, and I see a link on Amazon, which I will put on our radio thing when I share it with my thousands of people in my network here. And what's the best way? Do you like people to go to Amazon to get your book? Love is the Power, Moving Humanity from Fear to Love, which is a must-read for everyone here on Earth as we speak.
Loveisthepower.com is also the website that where you can get the app for an iPhone or for an
mm-hmm.
Android, loveisthepower.com.
Mm-hmm.
It also links you over
mm-hmm.
to Amazon if you want to look at the book. And it's got some other things on that website, too.
Good.
I'll
put it in our link. Mm-hmm.
You and
yes,
your community,
ahead.
Your listeners are so important. I just want to throw this in. I'm just kind of chilling here. What you
Absolutely.
Are doing is not limited to so many thousands of people that are listening. It's going out. It's part of this global awakening, and I can't tell you how
yes.
privileged I feel to be on your show, to be part of your community, and
mm-hmm.
we're all in this together. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's an absolute honor, and I like to have, that's why I call it conscious connection, people that are really willing to expand and go out in the skinny branches, so to speak. And also, I have a great social network following all over the world, so I like to expand other people knowing about people like you who deserve to be as much in the mainstream as the fearmonger media out there, that's for sure.
Yes.
Excellent.
You,
Whereabouts are you located, by the way?
I'm actually, my wife and daughter and I and our horse live in Granite Bay, which is north of Sacramento, up in horse country.
Oh, okay,
Lake.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
that's
okay,
where
yeah.
live in,
I'm in Los Angeles, but I have listeners everywhere.
I know
I'm
LA.
Getting to the end of our... okay, yes, I know, exactly, especially with the music scene in
yeah.
the 70s and everything. But we have to go now, unfortunately. We may have you on again to discuss more because you're just a wealth of information and at a critical time in human history. So thank you very much for being my guest. I just have a few seconds. I got to sign off now. And thank you so much.
Thank
I will
you,
spread
Gary.
This and share this far and wide for you and help you get some great book sales.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
really cool.
Yes, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection, and I have a fantastic author of Love is the Power with Robert O. Williams, and we will have the link to his website, www.loveisthepower.com. And Robert, thank you so much. We're running out of time here, and it's just wonderful to speak to you, and I will share this far and wide, and you do the same, and we'll get you right up there.
Thank you all. Thank you again, Gary.
Okay, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye-bye.